Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
Such a beautiful and glorious day out there. I love days like this. It's not quite the end of summer, so fall is just around the corner. The days are still warm, and yet, we don't see as much sunlight as we did. I notice now in the morning I get up and it's still dark out. So, but that's okay. You know, it's that time of year. You know, we get to do different things, and, you know, we prepare for the feast, and I see construction is still going on strong. You know, it reminds me, you know, many of us have some type of construction background. A lot of us in here have either worked in construction or engineering or some phase of building where we know some of the terms that are used in construction. You know, one of the oldest terms that we talk about that you hear when you're building a house, a great wall, maybe a massive skyscraper, you hear them talk about the term foundation. The foundation is the beginning of any physical structure. And it's got to be perfect. It's got to be perfect in its size, in its shape, in its angle, in its height, and even in its depth. That foundation has to be perfect for the structure to be strong and able to exist. In ancient times, when that foundation was started, there had to be a first point. There had to be what they called the cornerstone. And that cornerstone was so specific in its where it was placed and the way it was placed. I mean, think about it. They were using not just, you know, a small little slab, but these cornerstones were huge, would take armies of men to put in. And they had to be perfect. And they had to be placed perfect. I mean, if they were out just an inch, by the time you got to the other end of the building, you might be out 10 feet, and then the building's not going to work. From that cornerstone, all the other stones would be aligned in reference to determine the position and strength of the entire structure. As I said, if the first stone is set wrong, then the entire building would be out of shape. Now, over time, there's been many different ways that they would set a cornerstone of a structure. Of course, in ancient times, because they didn't have bulldozers and cranes and everything else to lift and put things, they used men, armies of men, that would set that first stone of a temple or a building. And as per the king's direction and his architects, his designers, they would set that first stone. And sometimes the laying of that first stone was a very monumental fact. They would celebrate, huge celebrations for that first cornerstone. And you know, those traditions have really carried on even today. You know, you see pictures in the paper. It's funny. Once in a while you see this picture. I still remember the picture of the school that I went to. And I remember this picture from my childhood of the men that were part of the school board standing around with shovels to take that first shovel of dirt to start where the foundation was going to be. And that same thing you'll see today. You'll see these VIPs are on their suits and ties like they've ever held a shovel, right? And they're standing there with this gold shovel to unearth this first thing of dirt for a new hospital or a new coliseum or whatever it is they're going to build. And they take pictures and everybody gets around and then they go back to their jobs and the construction crews come in and do the real hard work. So you see this, and we see this as they begin any kind of a foundation. And as I said, of course, today with heavy equipment and concrete that we use, there isn't really a functional cornerstone in construction the way we used to see it. Nowadays, if you see a cornerstone in a building, it's usually 3 or 4 feet off the ground. It's something very decorative. They've carved into it maybe the date they started the building and who was there and so forth, and they put it in the side of the building. It's not structural. It's not supporting the foundation. It's simply something that's looked at as decorative to show where the building, you know, who built it and so forth. It's a lot different than it would be. But superstition and ancient customs, they still exist. Let me read something to you from the book. It's called The Golden Bough. And this is from 2006. And this is talking about current things that still happen as they build foundations. It says, nowhere perhaps does the equivalence of the shadow to the life or soul come out more clearly than in some customs practiced to this day in southeastern Europe. In modern Greece, when the foundation of a new building is being laid, it is the custom to kill a rooster, a ram, or a lamb, and to let its blood flow on the foundation stone, under which the animal is afterwards buried. The object of the sacrifice is to give strength and stability to the building. But sometimes, instead of killing an animal, the builder entices a man to the foundation stone, secretly measures his body or a part of it, or his shadow, and buries the man under the foundation stone. Or he'll lay the foundation stone upon the man's shadow. It is believed that the man will die within the year. Now, it seems strange to me that they would do this, but if they capture his shadow and bury it as part of the foundation, then they think that the man will die within a year. Persons passing by a building which is in course of erection may hear a warning cry, "Beware, lest they take thy shadow." Not long ago, there were still shadow traders whose business it was to provide architects with the shadows necessary for securing their walls. In these cases, the measure of the shadow is looked on as equivalent to the shadow itself, and to bury it is to bury the life or soul of the man who, deprived of it, must die. Thus, the custom is a substitute for the old practice of immuring a living person in the walls, or crushing him under the foundation stone of a new building, in order to give strength and durability to the structure, or more definitely, in order that the angry ghost may haunt the place and guard it against the intrusion of enemies. So you see, brethren, there are different ways that the foundations around the world are laid. Now, I don't think that we have practiced these superstitions of building foundations in this country, although it might explain the disappearance of Jimmy Hoffa. I mean, they never really found the body, so, you know, you never know. He might be in a foundation somewhere. But let's go back to the foundation and to the cornerstone, because that's really what we're going to talk about today. What do these terms have to do with us in God's church? God has shown us in the Old and the New Testament the importance of building our foundation on a rock, not on a pebble, not on sand, but on something that is solid, that is tested, that is unwavering in strength. For the remainder of this message, we're going to look at God's instruction for the children he has called out and the rock or cornerstone that we build upon. Let's turn to Psalms 127 for our first verse. Psalm 127 and verse 1. Psalm 127 and verse 1. This is a scripture that sets the stage for what we are to look to. Verse 1 of Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. What does this have to do with us, brethren? Well, if we're trying to do the will of God, if that's our goal, if that's what we have chosen to do, and we want to have a stronger foundation for our life, then we must go to God and have his Holy Spirit within us, leading us to make any headway into this temporary life that we live. We have to have him first and foremost if we are to be building upon the foundation he has set for us. The Word of God must be the very foundation that we build our house upon. And Christ, brethren, is to be that chief cornerstone. We read that in Ephesians 2. Let's turn back there. Ephesians 2 and verse 19. I think we all know this verse. We've read it many times. We see here Ephesians 2 and verse 19. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Verse 19 talks about strangers. They were outsiders. They're not a part of God's inner circle. But God tells us that we will be insiders when we choose to become like Him, when we make His church, His foundation, this focus and the center for our bodies and for ourselves. We are fit and woven together by the Word of God, given to us through the Scripture, by the apostles and prophets, and secured in strength and promise by the foundational cornerstone, which is Christ. We have this promise, brethren. It is there for us to see and to follow. We know that Christ was tested. We know He was tried. He was tempted by Satan. We know that He went through many things to become the foundational stone of which to build His church upon. Something that was solid, that wasn't weak in any way. Something that would never waver, that we could count on throughout our life. That when God gives us His Spirit, when He calls us, we are able to take that knowledge and we are able to use that with Christ to build the relationship with God and with one another. You know, I have this page, my next page in my notes. It's just blank. It says blank page on it. And the reason is that is to remind me and to remind us all, brethren, that that's how we start out. We start out as a blank page. God doesn't have anything for us other than He calls us and then we must grow from there. It's not like we have done this miraculous thing and or this great thing in our lives and God says, oh, okay, that's somebody that I'm going to call. No, God says He calls the weak of the world. We are called as a blank page, something that God can work with, something that God can mold and shape with His Holy Spirit into the being He wants us to become. It's all for all of us. And it's not an easy process. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. We're going to all go through tests and trials to become the foundational stone that God wants us to become, that we are part, woven together with Christ as that foundation of His church. And it's not, as I said, an easy task. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes trials and tests. We're tested by fire to see if we're worthy and to change and become what God wants us to become. Let's turn back to Isaiah 28 and verse 16. Isaiah 28 and verse 16. You know, I think about it. I guess that joke about Jimmy Hoffa is kind of a dated joke, I guess. For the younger ones, he was somebody that disappeared a long time ago and they never knew. Anyway, going on. Isaiah 28 and verse 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. God laid aside a stone, and He prophesied it hundreds of years before Christ was born, of what was to come, that He would be tested, that He would be found worthy to be that cornerstone, that foundation, that solid foundation for His church to be built upon. Again, brethren, we must remember the purpose of the cornerstone. It must be the perfect block, not sandstone, not river rock, not coal, not something infused with clay. It must be made of granite or marble, something that is hewn out of the earth and is solid. That's what Christ was. That's what we have to become. Not weak, not soft or something that can fall apart. It's just like He says that we build our house not on sand, but we build it on a firm foundation. And God's house, His church, must be built on that same firm foundation. Something that is strong enough to support the foundation forever. Back to Psalms 118. Psalm 118, and this time in verse 22. We see here this Christ was rejected. We see back in the Old Testament in Psalm 118 and verse 22, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. He was tested and tried and tempted by Satan. And he became stronger, more perfect, more polished, the rock that his church had to be built upon. We see this time and time again in the Old and New Testament, where God shows us that Christ is that rock. His purpose for us was foreordained, and it is prophesied in the Word of God. Let's turn back to 1 Peter 1, verse 19. Back in the New Testament, we see again 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. Picking it up in the middle of the thought here, verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Verse 21, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. You see, brethren, if we're not building a strong foundation based on the Word of God, how can we ever hope to have the faith and the hope of what is to come? How do we build faith that it must be built on a foundation that is strong if we haven't first started with a strong cornerstone? If we don't first have that bedrock foundation to start with, how can we ever hope to build the faith that we have to have in God? We can't see him. We have to have the faith that he's there. We have to have the belief and the trust in him and what he can do and what he will do for us before it happens. Because we can't physically see God, brethren. We only have to live by our faith. And that faith has to be strong. We build our faith in the one that God set apart as the cornerstone for our foundation. Let's turn back now to Zechariah 10 and verse 4. Zechariah, back in the end of the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 10, and reading here verse 4, from him comes the cornerstone, from him the tent peg, from him the battle bow, from him every ruler together. Everything comes from God, brethren. God set apart Christ to be the cornerstone, to be the foundation that we need. He has promised us that Christ will be there upon which the church is to be built. We all know that in the world we live in today, many are building a foundation of religion upon themselves, their own lusts and desires. The cares of this world has become their foundation. That is what so many want to rely on. They don't want to rely on the Word of God. They don't want to rely on Christ. They don't rely on the foundation. They don't want to rely on what the Bible says. They want to rely on themselves. They want to follow what they believe in. They might think or say that they believe in Christ, but their actions say different. Their practices are based on rejecting the laws and commandments of God to do what's right in their own eyes. Now, I know that we're probably not surprised by that, because if we're reading God's word, God says that will be the way it is in the end time. It's clear that as we get closer and closer to the end of this age, this is what is to happen. People will look to themselves. We see it more and more so every day in the world around us. Looking to themselves, looking to what they can do, saying that they believe in Christ, but totally ignoring what God tells them to do. Ignoring the structure and the foundation that God laid aside for us to follow. Because they want to do what's right in their own eyes. So what about us? What about us, brethren? Where have we built our foundation? What things are most important in our lives? Do we truly, prayerfully, positively try to live godly, perfect lives as the perfect and precious stone did while he was on this earth? He took the form of a servant, he laid aside his royalty, and he gave his life as a man so we might have the opportunity to be here today. Do we realize that sacrifice, brethren, and look to that and see and understand in our lives what it means to us and why we're here today? This foundational cornerstone rock solid, unblemished by weather and time. Christ doesn't change. The way he is, the foundational cornerstone of us, for us, hasn't changed. We change, hopefully for the better, but Christ hasn't changed. He's still solid. He's still rock solid as he has been from the beginning. And God tells us there is no other foundation for us to build upon. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's pretty clear. To me, that's pretty cut and dry. That's like, okay, that I can see that. That's concrete. That's a foundational statement that I can base something on. It's clear, okay? Only one foundation do we build upon. One chief cornerstone. If we do this, if we turn to him and we adhere to the laws and commandments, then we, brethren, can be solid, as Christ tells us in Luke 6. Let's go there. Luke chapter 6 and verse 47. The promise that we have, that we can be rock solid ourselves when we look to God, when we look to Christ as that cornerstone. Luke chapter 6 and verse 47. We read here, picking this up from Christ himself. Verse 47, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. Again, our foundation has to be firmly on the rock that is Christ. Our basis for what we do, how we live our life, what we search out and prove, has to all fall back on only one thing, and that is that Christ is there for us to be led by. We again and again are reminded by God that we must be faithful, founded in principle and life on the foundational cornerstone that is Christ. He is the rock that holds the entire building together. You know, if you look at the way that God explains this in the Bible, and you compare them to a physical structure, that foundational stone that is placed to build that structure, everything ties into it. Every other piece of that building starts with that cornerstone. It ties to it. And how well it ties to it, how well it's placed, determines the success or the failure of that building. It's no different than today. I work in construction. I've seen different things over the years. If you take a foundation, and let's say today, I mean, foundations today tend to be built of concrete and steel, not of one giant stone. So they take and they pour a foundation. Let's say when they pour that foundation, they get it off. Let's say it's not level by a quarter of an inch. And then they start laying the block on that, and they build up from there. Well, by the time they're 8 or 9 feet high, that block can be leaning out so precariously that that wall will not be stable. So if that foundational stone is not perfect from the beginning, there's no way the structure is going to hold. I've seen buildings. I went into a house one time, and the builder was telling me how when they put the foundation in, they didn't get it square. See, it's not only level, but being square is important too. He was showing me, he said, I don't know how we're going to finish the house. It's a foot out of square. A foot. Think about that. So this wall's going this. He said, I mean, I see it from the guy that comes in later. I mean, if you're putting in windows or cabinets or anything like that, and the house isn't built square, nothing fits. So if you start off wrong in the beginning, it's wrong all the way to the end, and it's almost impossible to correct it. You start a foundation a foot out of square, Nothing works. He was showing me, he said, I can't even get the garage doors to fit. Nothing fits because everything is so out of whack. So if you look at it from that perspective, and then you realize that God made Christ the cornerstone for us, you can understand the importance of how pure and perfect he was and how that affects us because we are built upon that stone. Our continued way of life starts with that foundational stone as the basis for us to grow and become more like God. We have in the Word of God this unbelievable blueprint. It's a blueprint. If I could bring out a set of blueprints and lay them up here, we have it right here. God has given it to us, a blueprint on how to become like Him. A blueprint that shows us how to achieve success in our lives, in everything we do. Words and descriptions to heed and to follow that will guarantee a firm foundation in faith in the will of God. 2 days ago, brethren, we were able to gather with those of like mind to enjoy physical and spiritual food together. We had the opportunity to share a meal. We had the opportunity to catch up and to fellowship with those we haven't seen in a while, to develop new relationships with people we hadn't met before. And all of this came about because of the church, the body of Christ being founded upon the rock that is Christ, a body of believers all brought together because of the compassion and the mercy of our loving Father, who gives us His Spirit so we can grow and build upon His foundation, not ours, not our own desires, not our personal thoughts or wants or anything else, but to be built upon that solid foundation that He gives us. We are each living stones called out to be fitly woven together as part of God's family. For our last scripture, let's turn to 1 Peter 2, and we're going to begin in verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to begin in verse 4. Coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame. Verse 7, Therefore, to you who believe, He is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Verse 8, And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royalty, but now have obtained mercy. Brethren, as we continue to prepare for the Day of Atonement, for the feast, for the last great day, we need to all remember this foundation that we are all part of, the precious cornerstone that gave His life for us, and continue to build our faith with God's people, called out of darkness to become the family of God.